You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Okay, first, thanks, Dave and Katie. Dave and Katie, we got to know through other ministry friends here in Toronto. So some of you have heard them or had them lead you in worship before. So thanks again. He graduated from University of Toronto maybe a few years back, but just a little tidbit about Dave. That song, Bert commented on, I want to comment one little thing. Every time I pray that one line, take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, you know, it's quite a dangerous prayer. I don't sing it lightly. Because we want safety in life. We don't want risk. We want to grow, but we don't want to be put in the place where we have to trust beyond how we've ever trusted before. We're starting a series on Abraham, God's story through Abraham, and then find your place in God's story. Abraham is referred to as the father of our faith. And Abraham really was a guy who God took him places where he probably might not have chosen to wander. And yet we're going to watch over the course of his life amazing things that God does in and through him. So a few things before I guess I should hit my starter because I always talk too long. So so here's what we're doing. The last 4 years or so, every year after Easter, we took 4 years and we went through the book of Acts. Anybody remember that? We did different chapters for chunks of the book of Acts over a course of 4 years. The next probably 4 years, we are going to take this season after Easter and engage with one of the great... we might call Abraham a patriarch, a father of our faith from the Old Testament, and see how our faith and where we are today fits into God's great story from creation to one day the end of time. So Abraham, we're starting with Abraham. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, for anybody who isn't familiar with the Bible, there's from chapters 11 to 25 talk about this man, Abraham. And why is he important to us? Well, we're going to look today, we're going to jump to the New Testament, and we're going to look today at mostly what the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote a significant amount of the New Testament, had to say about our faith in relation to this man, Abraham. But one of the things, or many things we're going to see, today I'm going to do the introduction. The next however many weeks, we are going to look at one or more stories from the life of Abraham. Some might be really familiar to some of you. Some you might never have spent a lot of time thinking about or reading about. But we're going to go through his life. So we're starting with Abraham because he's kind of the first really significant man in the book of Genesis. We just learn a whole lot about his life. We hear all about his ups and downs and his journey of faith with God. And before the law of God and the rules and regulations that God gave through Moses many, many centuries later, we see in Abraham that our relationship with God isn't built on what we do, our effort, but it's built on faith. We're going to learn in the weeks ahead that our salvation, it's going to come by the grace of God through the faith. And we're going to see that God's promises endure despite human weakness, despite my weakness and yours, which should be good news to all of us. We're going to see God's plan didn't just start with Jesus. God's plan started with the creation of the world, and we're going to see it spoken forth through the life of Abraham. Now, backtrack for a second here. It used to bug me. In the early days of my faith, and as I was starting to study and learn the Bible, it used to bug me that through the Old Testament, God is referred to as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, then his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. Over and over in the Psalms and different places in the writings of the Old Testament, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, why did that bug you, Sheila? Well, I knew their stories. I knew their failure and their sin and their doubt. And I had this conception, I had a thinking, it didn't fit my thinking. I assumed God was going to bless the strong and the faithful and the consistent. So this reference confused me because what are you talking about, God? Look at the sins these men committed. And yet you declare that you're their God. It should have given me hope. Because this is not our life, in spite of our unfaithfulness, in spite of our sin. He is still our God, and that gives us hope for our lives and for the days ahead. So, we're going to see in the weeks ahead. He was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of great faith and obedience to God. And yet we're going to see his failure and his fear and his sin, his struggle. And that's why his story matters to us. Because it's a story of hope, not in my ability or yours, but in the God who chooses us and who saves us. Sometimes we can think the Bible is a moral story, do this, don't do that, instead of a gospel or a good news story. So we're going to see the gospel, the good news, through the life of Abraham. Then we can shift from, am I doing enough, to am I trusting God? We can make that shift. We can in our lives, to our putting our trust, our faith, and hope in God. So we're going to start in the New Testament as we unpack this series. We're going to start in the New Testament because Paul, when he writes about Abraham, helps us to understand what Abraham's life and his story means to us. In fact, Paul says, in many ways, you can't even understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus, without understanding the story of Abraham. In fact, Paul even wrote that in Galatians, that the gospel, the good news, was announced in advance to Abraham. So all those centuries before, God gave Abraham a glimpse of the good news that we walk into today. We're going to hear one more thing a lot about Abraham, and that we're going to hear the word righteousness. And what does that mean? Righteousness means being made right with God. Accepted by him, not because of what we've done or who we are, but because we put our faith and trust in him. We're fully welcomed, and we're fully welcomed because we trust in what he's done for us. Righteousness is not enough about being good enough for God, because we can't ever reach that mark. It's not about performance. There's nothing to prove. Abraham believed God. He wasn't made perfect, but he was made right with God. That's what righteousness means. So, in this sermon series, you're going to listen, I'm going to read. We're going to read a lot of Bible. A lot. So, whatever is easiest for you to follow along. The words are going to be on the screen. Maybe you can follow along, that helps you hear and understand. Maybe you're somebody who you should just close your eyes and listen. Maybe some of these weeks, this is the physical Bible. Maybe it would be helpful to bring your Bible with you or to open it on a YouVersion app. But we're going to read a lot today and all the Sundays to come. Today we're going to read two things that Paul wrote and then something from the book of Hebrews. So I'm going to do my best to hold your attention. Follow along. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Verse 13. For the promised to Abraham and to his offspring, that he should be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness, the right standing of faith. For if its adherents of the law are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. Give me 1 second here, because I think this is a different translation, and I want to read it to you in something that's a little more understanding. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless. The promise is worthless because the law brings wrath. So the law, the rules given to the nation of Israel through Moses. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, that's Israel, if you know your Bible history, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, oh my goodness, this is what we're going to find in Abraham's life. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. Galatians chapter 3. So, also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. God, okay, do you know who the Gentiles are? Everybody who wasn't the nation of Israel. That means probably almost every single one of us sitting in here are the Gentiles. So God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, you and me, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Ah, more things. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you were all baptized into Christ, clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, free nor slave, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A little bit more, Hebrews. By faith, when Abraham was called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. What we're looking at in Hebrews here, in the weeks ahead, all these stories are going to make sense to you if you're not familiar with them. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, his son, Jacob, his grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Kind of poetic, but he was looking for something beyond what you can build and see with your natural abilities, hands, eyes. And then we're going to learn at some point a little bit about his wife. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, super old, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. Finally, all these people, Abraham, Sarah, others that are written about in Hebrews 11, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive what was promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. Lots to think about, lots to read there. Paul, and then the book of Hebrews. Well, we're going to see four things. That's the long part. Here comes the faster part. We're going to see four things as we move ahead in the weeks studying and looking at Abraham. The first thing we're going to see, we'll see the promise. We'll see the problem. We'll see the problem. No, let's start with the problem, because the promise doesn't help if you don't know the problem. We'll see the problem. We cannot make ourselves right with God. Abraham is introduced to us by Paul, not as a hero to just imitate and live like Abraham, but as a man who could not earn his righteousness. If Abraham could have been justified by doing good things, doing his works, he would have something to brag about. But Paul tells us, it's not the one who works, but their faith is credited to them as righteousness. So what are we going to see in Abraham's life in the days and weeks ahead? We're going to see the problem. Sometimes Abraham tries to produce the promise himself. Sometimes he acts out of fear, not faith. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Sometimes he lives with doubts and questions. Yeah. And he experiences delays. We're going to find out to the promises of God. He experiences delays he has absolutely no control over. Before Abraham becomes an example of faith, then, he's an evidence of God's grace, because the story of Abraham begins with God showing up in Abraham's life and God speaking to Abraham and God declaring his promise over Abraham's life. Before he becomes an example of faith, we see that God steps into his story. In other words, Abraham's story starts not with his effort, but with God's initiative. What about you? Think about your story. Maybe you grew up in a religious home. I did. I was raised Lutheran, and parts of that were really helpful in my life and my story. I got a good foundation in the Bible. And my oldest sister married when I was 9. Her husband was Roman Catholic, so she converted to Catholicism. And I remember her saying this line, which was new to me as a Lutheran, that she could go to Mass on Saturday night to fulfill her Sunday obligation. And I thought, oh, okay. I'm a little kid, remember this. I thought, okay, so there's things like we just have to do because we're obligated. Maybe you had a religious upbringing. Maybe you grew up in a secular home, no sign of God. If we just work really hard and we're really good people, good stuff happens to good people. So you work really hard to be a good person. The story of Abraham is going to confront our instinct to perform or to earn or to prove we can't receive righteousness. We can't achieve righteousness. We can receive it from God. So a minute here, think back of your own story. Before your faith journey, the home you grew up in, the people you met, your life experiences, before you put your faith in Jesus, where was God stepping into your story? Have you ever thought about that? You think, oh, I met somebody and they told me about Jesus and I put my faith in Jesus, but maybe God was awakening you to his presence before even then showing up. There's a missiologist from a pastor, missiologist, writer, evangelist, loves to talk to people about and help us as Christians learn about living life on mission and sharing the gospel with people. His name is Michael Frost. He's from Australia. And I've heard him preach about this, and I really like what he has to say. Here's what he says. I just assume that God is already at work in the world, revealing himself through creation and fostering spiritual curiosity or thirst in people's lives. Think about that. Before even that day that you put your faith in Jesus, where was God stepping into your story? Number two, we'll hear the promise. As we track along with the story of Abraham, we'll hear the promise, what God speaks and gives that we could never earn. The stories we'll encounter are built on promise. Long before God gave the law, the rules to people, he gave a promise. The promise comes to us. We believe it. We walk in the grace. It's guaranteed not just to Abraham, but to Abraham's offspring is what Paul tells us. That's us. That's other human beings. That's me and that's you. God paints a future for Abraham that Abraham can't bring about on his own. He promises and he paints a picture of what that future is going to look like. So what do we see in Abraham's life? We see God promises him descendants, kids, grandkids, when Abraham had none. We see God promises a land and blessing beyond what Abraham can see. Part of Abraham's story is God calls him from one place and he's taken him somewhere else. So what we see in Abraham's life, God promises descendants. He promises a land and blessing. He promises a son when it is physically and humanly impossible. And Abraham lives as a sojourner. He wanders, waiting to see the promise of God fulfilled in his life, not yet possessing what God had promised to him. Abraham's life is actually sustained not by what he sees, but by what God says. In other words, Abraham's future was not secured by his ability or to figure all this out. God said some things. Abraham had absolutely no way of seeing those things come forth in his life. So his life is sustained, secured. His future is secured, not by his ability, but by God's promise. Okay. Faith learns to anchor in what God has said, not in what we see. We want to see things, right? We want to see, I want to pray for something and see it tomorrow. Anybody have, I have some things in my life right now I'm hoping for, I pray for, every day. Some of them I've prayed for a really long time. Maybe it's family members you want to see in a different place in their life, maybe a place of faith or physical healing. Our confidence, our faith is anchored in God and not in what we see. And so we learn to live in that tension. We're going to see this in Abraham's life. He's got to live between the things God promises and then a really long time before he sees any of those things in physical reality. Number three, we're going to discover, as we learn about Abraham, we're going to discover the response. We're going to see what faith, what action comes out of that place of faith. Because it doesn't mean you sit and do nothing. We move forward in our faith and in obedience to God. We're told, against all hope, Abraham hoped. And we're also told in the book of Hebrews, it says, Abraham, by faith, went. He left. When he was called to go, and we'll see God does call him to go and to move, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. I want to know where I'm going. I want to say yes to God if I know exactly what the future is going to look like. And that's not life. We sang it. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Take me places where my faith is going to grow, out on that water where we don't see. So how about today? Is God calling you to trust him in one area of life or two areas of life where you can't see the future, the end, the hope, but in hope against hope, you're going to trust and believe God? We're going to see that in the life of Abraham in the weeks ahead. So what would it look like for you today to move out, maybe in that step of faith and obedience? Finally, as we unpack the story of Abraham, we'll see that we, you and me, we share in the ultimate outcome of what God promises to Abraham. A new family, a shared inheritance, a clear purpose in life. We're going to share in that outcome. I think the key word here is inheritance. God has an inheritance for us. Have you ever been in somebody's will? Most of you are way too young for that, but you've been in somebody's will. You receive things that you didn't earn. They were actually given to you because someone else earned them. Romans said to us about Abraham, the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but for all of us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. Ah, here comes our inheritance. He was delivered over to death, Jesus was, for our sins, all those places where we fall short of how God calls God's expectation, his holiness. You know, we just can't, we can't ever live that life. He was delivered, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Key word, inheritance. Abraham becomes the father of all who believe. And for all of us sitting in here, you know, as we journey through the Old Testament, we see first all those promises were to a very specific people, the Jews, the Israelites, a nation, the descendants, the direct physical descendants of Abraham. But the promise that is going to come to Abraham is for all nations. And that's us. That's his, you look around here, that's us, the nations of the world, and the nations of the world in our city. Abraham becomes the father of all who believes, beyond ethnicity, every nation, and he has a longing for something better. So he becomes the father of all who believe, the promise beyond ethnicity. Those in Christ are now Abraham's offspring and heirs. And Abraham was looking for a better country. And this is a reminder for us. Life is really good. I've got great things in my life, family and friends and a roof over my head and tasty food and clothes to wear. I've got really good things in my life. And yet, if I'm looking for that for my satisfaction, I heard somebody, while we were out of the country, I heard somebody from another country trying to figure out, this is dark, but trying to figure out why people in the developed world would take their own lives. Because in his mind, in the developed world, we just have everything. And isn't that, I mean, that's a dark picture, but isn't that a little picture of, you can have everything that Canada offers for you. And you can still, if that's where you're looking for your fulfillment, you can still be empty. We're gonna have lots of things to reflect on that would say, am I looking for something beyond what I can feel and taste and the people around me and the really good life I have here? Is there a longing in our hearts for something beyond that? And ultimately, there is. We'll see in the end of time that every tear will be wiped away, that there will be all beauty and goodness restored. So is there a longing like Abraham for a better country, a greater fulfillment than what this world can give us? So we're brought into a family, we're given an inheritance, we're also called with purpose. We're going to see in Abraham's life that this journey he's on in the next number of weeks that we have together, we're going to see the journey he's on isn't just about him and his wife, his kids. God starts from the beginning of his story saying, this isn't about you. And sometimes when you get there, when you start to think life's all about me, remind yourself, oh, God saved me and called me with a purpose, with something beyond maybe what I can see today, but to bring his goodness and his kingdom together with my spiritual family, to bring the taste of that to our city, Toronto, to your university campus, to your workplace. God's called us with a purpose. In other words, what began as a promise to one man will become an invitation to all people and a purpose for all who believe. So we're not just going to be inspired by Abraham, though we will, and we're going to see that we're included in the picture that God has and that he paints through the life of Abraham. We're included in that story. We're going to see that from the beginning of time, God had a plan for what we read about in the very end of the Bible, that a people from every nation, tongue, and tribe, which describes our city in so many ways, every nation, tongue, and tribe. We're going to see that God's plan from the beginning of time was that his people would reflect the ethnicities, the people groups, the languages of his world. We're going to also see that in this place where we really do live lives that are full and blessed and we're provided for and we're looked after, that we're blessed not just for me and mine, but we're blessed to be a blessing. And we're going to live. We're going to purpose to live. I hope you do. I will. I hope I am. Purposing to live as those who will carry forward this promise of God. So Abraham's story reminds us that it's God's initiative. He gets things started. He steps into your story and mine. Even before you're conscious of him, he steps into your story. That Abraham's story, like ours, our future rests on God's promise, not my ability, not yours. But the response to that, our life of obedience is shaped by that promise, by his promise. And what began in the life of Abraham reaches to us centuries later, inviting us and calling us into God's purpose for us. So think about this. As we walk through Abraham's life in the weeks ahead, we're not just studying his story. We're asking what it looks like for us to live this out together, to become a people of faith and covenant, a people who belong deeply to one another. I hope we're challenged in the weeks ahead in our relationship with one another to walk out our faith together. A people who trust God with our lives and our resources, who make room for others, from the stranger to family, who carry this forward to the next generation. This is what it means to be Abraham's family today, not just to inherit a promise, but to live out God's purpose together. Let's pray. Father, as we begin these weeks ahead to learn about, think about, read about, be inspired, yes, but also have our lives challenged and changed by the life of Abraham fulfilled in Jesus. Let us see you, let us see deeply into our own hearts, and let us leave more and more conformed into those people of faith and obedience who see your purpose accomplished in the earth. Just finally, one more scripture from Corinthians, a familiar one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Where does our righteousness come from? God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, or to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Ultimately, Abraham and his story is going to point us to the one who became sin for us, that we too could become the righteousness of God.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, Visit our website at everynationgta.org.